Wednesday evening, June 13, Rosh Kodesh, for the month of Tammuz in 5778. We're going to do lesson 6. Okay, everybody. I know I was sick last month, so we didn't get together. And actually, I had planned on doing Kedeshah and the Shamru. However, John did a sermon on the Shamru just about the time I was going to do. So by now, it's been long enough, we'll do a little bit of it.
The title was actually the Shamru.
Yes, it was. It was actually the Shamru. Okay, so last time, which should have been lesson 5, I believe we went over... the Shabbat Amidah. We were on page 20. We went over the Shabbat Amidah on page 20 and 21. Does anybody remember anything about the Shabbat Amidah that we brought up? We did a little bit about the fact that on Shabbat we just do the summary. But do you remember there were different sections of the Amidah? There was the praise section. And tonight we're going to go over what we do as the Kedeshah, which is probably the third portion of that first section. The third, I gave you the different, I read them off. They weren't in your book, but section 1 of the Amidah, the whole Amidah, first one is praise. That's section 1. It includes Avot, which is fathers. Then Gevurot, which is powers of God. Then Kedushat Hashem, the holiness of God. They believe that the Kedushah that we do, which I'll get into it in a minute, comes from that portion right there. Section 2 was petition, which has to do with the spiritual part for Binah, knowledge, Teshuvah, repentance, Slicha, forgiveness. And then in the physical, material, emotional part, it's Geulah, the redemption, security, Refuah, healing or health, Shanim, years. Then the needs of the Jewish people and society, the Kibbutz, Geliot, gathering of the exiles, the Mishpat, the justice. And we talked about number 12 that was added, 18. It was 18 was for one of the names of this. Shmone Esrei, which means 18. And it was originally 18, but this one was added. It's the Birchat Haminim, heretics, translated basically. That's the way it's. Which is not really a blessing, it's more of a curse. And it's added as number 12. So our 18 now has 19, even though it's still called 18. Shmoneh Esrei. Okay. And then we talked about Tzadikim, the righteous, Yerushalayim, Jerusalem, Birkat David, the coming of the Messiah. Then there's a summary blessing, which is Tefillah. Hear our prayer, Tefillah. Section 3, then, when we had praise is section 1, petition is section 2, and section 3 is thanks. So we had Avodah, which has to do with worship, Hoda'ah, thanksgiving, and Shalom, peace. That's your 19 different number 18s. And we talked about the 19th that was added after the destruction of the second temple. It was directed at the first century Messianic Jews. It was also part of the beginning of the separation that went, the church church separated from its Jewish roots.
In the decade after the first revolt, yeah.
And interestingly, the present-day Reform movement has removed this blessing from their siddur altogether.
Really?
And I thought that's really interesting. That it's just totally gone from the Reform. Now, I had given you a reference to a scripture, Shemot 23:13. Ooh, instead of 23. That was one of my typos.
Where was that listed on the...
I don't think it's listed. It was one of the added references that we gave you.
Okay.
Part of it was the first group of blessings is Avot, which is fathers, which helps us remember that we praise and direct our prayers to the same God who loved and made a covenant with our fathers, Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Moshe even interceded before God to not destroy Bnei Israel after the golden calf, using the merit of the fathers. Remember Abraham, Yitzhak, and Israel, your servants. And I gave you the reference of 30... I gave you 23, excuse me. It is actually 32:13.
I'm looking at 23:32 and it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I know. And that's what happened last month, so. Okay, and then I was saying that on the bottom of 20, there are many versions to this prayer, and many think that Yeshua was speaking of this prayer in Mark 11:25. Remember, one of the other titles I gave you for the Amidah, which is in our vocabulary, is, I know Diane's got it,
standing prayer.
So Amidah is a standing prayer, so there's often thought that Yeshua was referring to when you stand, okay, and pray. That's out of Mark. Okay, so the Amidah in our vocabulary, I think that's page 21, mm-hmm, was the standing prayer, Shemone Yisrei, means
18.
The Hatefillah, which is the alternate name for Amidah. Hatefillah is the prayer, which is another alternate name for the Amidah. The Birkat Haminim, that's the malediction of the sectarians or heretics, the 19th blessing that was inserted as number 12. Okay, I'm not going to go over all of the rest of the vocabulary tonight, because I want to get in tonight, to tonight's, but if you have any other questions, anybody have any blanks they wanted to fill in? Any? You have one?
The
Karaites. Mm-hmm. Okay, that was a sect of Judaism that believed in logical interpretation of the Tanakh. They rejected the oral law and rabbinic Judaism.
Yeah, they only accepted for, right? Wrong.
No. They believed in the interpretation of the Tanakh, which would be not just Torah. Okay.
Well, yeah, the prophets and the prophets.
And the writings.
Yeah.
Right.
And
okay.
Yes.
And they believe in the coming of the Messiah. So that was one way that they were distinguished. The other ones we named were Messianic Jews, Essenes, Sadducees, and Perushim, or Pharisees. I'm going to go to, now we're on page 22, right? Student page 22, we're going to talk about the Kedushah. So, Kedushah means holiness or sanctification. We call it a vision of God's holiness. It's also known as the holiest part of Jewish prayer. Kedushah was not included in the earliest Mishnah. However, it was included in a small tractate after the close of the Talmud Kaddish, not the Mourner's Kaddish. The only place it appears in earlier Talmud is one cryptic brachot. One does not respond with a personal blessing. It's probable that this Kedushah in the Amidah, third part of section 1, also known as Kadosh. Okay, Kadosh means, somebody tell me?
Holy.
Holy. Right. It's We get that one at least out of the song, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the Kedushah, as we said, is traditionally the third section of the Amidah. The term Kedushah is from the Hebrew word used in the Mishnah for Kodesh, or holy. So let's look up Leviticus 19:2.
Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy.
Okay. Yeah. You get the Kadosh and Kedushim, right?
Yeah.
Kedushim and Kadosh. Holiness expresses the very nature of who God is. In order to express the holiness of God, words like awesome and fearful are often, very often used. Okay, so now we have the Kedushah there the way we do it. The Chazan begins with Nekadesh et Shimcha Ba'olam Kashem Shemakdishim Oto Bishmei Marom Kakatuv Al Yad Nevi'acha Ve'karze Elze Ve'amar. So what do we, wait, before we go on, what did we just say? What did I just think?
Nekadesh, we will sanctify, we will make holy.
Your name.
Shimcha, your name.
In this world. Even as it is sanctified in the heavens above, and it's written in your, by your prophet, they call to each other, saying. And then the congregation goes on with. What did we just say? Read it out.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole world is filled with his glory.
Okay. Somebody have Isaiah 6:3?
Also, that in the liturgical churches, this is always said during the service. The holy, holy, holy.
In
liturgical churches like the Roman Catholic.
Got it, got it, got it. Yeah, they repeat this in the Roman Catholic and their liturgy, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
They were crying out to each other, more holy than the holiest holiness is Adonai Zevaot. The whole earth is filled with his glory.
Somebody got another version? That was Complete Jewish Bible?
The Karazeh Zeh Amar Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Adonai Tavod, Milo Kor Ha'aretz Kavodo.
Yeah, which is kind of exactly what we just said. Okay. Okay. And then, Le'umatam Baruch Yomeiru. Those across for them respond, blessed. And the congregation continues.
Baruch Elohim Adonai Mikolo.
Blessed be from his abiding place.
That should be the big glory.
Okay. And that comes right out of?
Okay.
312.
Oh, 312.
Sorry. I read my reference
wrong.
Got
one in front of it.
Yeah.
Okay, it's small.
Then the Ruach lifted me up. I heard behind me the sound of a great earthquake. Blessed is the glory of Adonai from his place.
Okay. Yeah, Ezekiel 3:12, not 3:2. Okay, and then we continue. From your heavenly abode,
you will appear, O our King, and reign over us, for we wait for you. When you reign in Zion, soon, even in our days, may you dwell there forever and ever. May you be exalted and sanctified within Jerusalem, your city, from generation to generation and for all eternity. May our eyes see your kingdom as it is expressed in the songs of your might by the hand of David,
Okay, so while we're looking up Psalm 146:10, I'm going to give you another little bit slightly different wording that I've heard in some other congregations, where it says, may you be exalted. They use the word magnified and sanctified within Jerusalem, your city, from generation to generation and for all eternity. May our eyes see your kingdom, your kingship. We want to see him as king. And then in the songs of your might or your splendor by the hand of David. Okay, so Psalm 146:10.
The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord.
Okay. And what's praise ye the Lord in Hebrew?
Hallelujah.
Okay. Just making sure we're all together here. The liturgy varies among different communities and during different services, but they all have three lines in common from the Bible, though translations may vary. The first one is the Kadosh, 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 Adonai Tzevaot, Melo Kol Haaretz Kevodo, Holy, Holy, the Lord of Hosts. The entire world is filled with His glory. We just did that one out of Isaiah 6:3. And then the second, the Baruch Kevod Adonai Mimkomo, blessed is the glory of the Lord from his abiding place. That's the Ezekiel 3:12. And the third one is Imlok Adonai Leolam Elohayich Zion Lador Vador. Hallelujah. Or as we say in English, the Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, from generation to generation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that's our Psalm 146:10, both in Hebrew and English. Now also I have heard added often at the end is another portion which is not listed in your syllabus. Throughout all generations we will declare your greatness, and to all eternity we will proclaim your holiness. Your praise, O God, shall never depart from our mouth, for you are a great and holy God and King. Blessed are you, Lord, the holy God. Now, the Kedushah kind of acts as a bridge, but we're not just calling God holy, but that God's holiness is not fully realized until it is fully His kingdom. You ever think about that? He's not, even in our minds, we're calling Him holy, but until His kingdom is fully realized, until His kingdom comes into fullness, that's when His holiness will truly show. It is a praise that is also a request. Quote, I can't really praise God looking at the world I live in. However, I am asking you to be holy and be manifest in the world that I'm living in right now. Also notice that we humans are saying the same thing that the angels are saying. That's what they were doing in Ezekiel. So, my prayer is that we truly see a vision of God's holiness as we recite these words. I think that was in your, quote was in your syllabus. Yeah. Note, often there is choreography that goes along with our liturgy and our prayers. As we have said before, it is so that our entire being comes into praise, becomes part of our praise. So the Kedushah is recited while standing with our feet together. Like I said, it's part of the, can be part of the Amidah, even if it's an extended after the Amidah. So we are still standing and feet together as an act of respect, which comes from the Talmud on Ezekiel 1:7. Also, traditionally, while reciting the words Kadosh, 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 the choreography is that we go up on our toes with each Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Some say that that's because we are elevating ourselves toward the Holy One.
I wondered why we did.
Others do say, and I've heard this before, that it has something to do with the angels and the angels' wings.
If the angels are flying around, we're kind of flying a little bit too.
Yes. Okay? So, pick which one you decide you want to do it for, okay? Then you know why you're doing it. You don't just follow everybody else. That's part of the point of this class we've been doing. Not just go along with everybody else and say the words that are in translit up there, but kind of know what's going on and why you do what you do.
I find the choreography bits are helpful when you find yourself being distracted. You realize, that gets you back on track.
It does. It gets you back on track. Yeah. It focuses you when you get with when you're with the choreography. So, you know, often that's. Remember, we're doing this with a whole heart, right? Does anybody remember what that word was? Wholeheartedly.
Kavanah.
Okay. We're doing it with our whole. Not just our whole being.
Yeah. Yes.
And when you add the physical to it, you get a point of where you are. And also for others, if they come into the service, this is a familiar point. I know where we are.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because there could be a place that we would say holy or holy, holy. But if you holy, 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 and the people are going, oh, I know where we are. I know exactly where we are in the service. Because it becomes very familiar. Not to the point of boredom, right? That's the problem sometimes. We get so familiar with it, it goes, okay, right? But the point is to stay active in our worship to Him so that we don't just let it be words coming out of our mouth that we don't even know what they are meaning or just mumble them because everybody else is. Right? This is the point of why we're doing this. Okay.
That's actually the point of Yeshua's warning against vain repetition.
Exactly. That is Yeshua's warning against vain repetitions. So, okay, we have a little bit of a note here. The Mishnah, which we talked about and we'll talk about a little bit here, is the oral law written down approximately 200 CE and edited by Rabbi Yehuda the Prince. The Mishnah, from the word to study by repeating, okay, that's what it is divided into six parts and is compiled from the different discussions and interpretations throughout the years. It is said that the oral Torah helps explain what the words mean. One example is about Shabbat. We are told not to do work. But what is the work that's forbidden? How do you describe that, right? What is that? Or what exactly goes inside the mezuzah? Or when should the Shabbat candles be lit? The Mishnah can be helpful, but always, always remember that the Scriptures, the entire Bible, is our first source. After that, the Gemara, which means learning by tradition, is the commentary on the Mishnah. The two together, the Mishnah and the Gemara, are known as the Talmud. Okay? Because there are two Gemaras, there are in fact two Talmuds. The Jerusalem Talmud, the Talmud Yerushalami, and the Babylonian Talmud, in Hebrew the Talmud Bavli. Or Bavli.
Bavli.
I'm like, wait, that didn't sound right. Bavli. Corresponding to the Jerusalem Gemara and the Babylonian Gemara. But they both share the same Mishnah. The Gemara is mostly written in Aramaic, and the Jerusalem Gemara in Western Aramaic, and the Babylonian in Eastern Aramaic, but both contain portions in Hebrew. Sometimes the language even changes in the middle of the story. Okay, so let's do a little bit of the vocabulary here. I think we have Kedusha.
Do we need pencils?
Yep, I have pencils right behind us there. Yeah.
Very much, thank you.
Kedusha, somebody remember? Kedusha, what do you say Kedusha is? holiness or sanctification.
Basically the same thing.
So, exactly, I know, but those are the two terms that are used in English. So what's sanctification mean?
Set something apart for a specific purpose.
It's usually specifically the worship of God.
Okay, set apart for a specific purpose, usually the worship of God. What's holiness?
Same thing.
Same thing. But see, it gets used differently, especially I've heard it in the churches. It's like it's a whole different, like, well, wait, if you understand...
Usually holiness is connoted as righteousness.
Yeah, but holiness is not righteousness. Holiness, sanctification, sanctified, set apart. God is holy because he is totally set apart from anything us humans could do. That's an interesting concept for people who have never heard that.
Okay, usually you tell people they can be holy and still be unrighteous, or be righteous and still be unholy, and they sort of stare at you like...
Yeah,
right.
Okay, so it's kind of a switch if you came from the church and you're looking at it from what you learned in the church. You can go, what? How can you be unholy or be holy and be unrighteous? You know, it's just that in their mind, it's like, no, it equals the same. No. Holy means set apart. Sanctified. We think of it as an object that is untouchable or...
Dedicated to a particular purpose.
Dedicated to a particular purpose that is set apart. So that's what we're talking about when we say holy or sanctified. But those words take on a whole different connotation often out there. Let's go on. The next word we have is kadosh, so that means
holy.
Set apart. There you go. Mishnah.
Commentary on the Torah.
It's the oral law. Well, sometimes called the commentary on the Torah. It means to study by repeating. I thought that was interesting. Not everybody has heard that before. The Gemara is the commentary on the Mishnah.
Learning by tradition.
Yeah, which meant learning by tradition. Okay, so we have Mishnah, oral law, meaning by to study by repeating, the Gemara, the commentary on the Mishnah, learning by tradition, and the Talmud. What's the Talmud?
Talmud means to study.
It means to study.
On the Gemara and the Mishnah.
And it's the Mishnah and the Gemara together.
Say debate and commentary on the Mishnah.
Debate and commentary. Yeah, there's a lot of that too. A lot of debate. Okay, any other questions on Kedusha? Okay.
I have on the word sanctification, there was a pastor once who said to his daughter, why did you put that saucer down for the cat? And she said, well, I just wanted to give it to the cat. I give him milk. And he said, well, it has to be sanctified to the cat. Set apart to the cat.
That at least is a picture for his daughter to know what sanctified, set apart is. It's, yeah, a saucer that's used in the kitchen is for our food is probably not set apart for the cat. Okay, we're going to go on to one more portion that is the Bishamru, which should be your student page 24. Okay, now, Bishamru, there are many congregations that do not have this in their service, and others place it in a different place. And John mentioned that during his sermon. So I'm going to refer, if you can recall or re-listen or listen to John's sermon from 5:5:18. We do this. Bishamru v'nei Yisrael. Bishamru et ha. Sorry, that's way low. Okay, so what did we just say?
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing the Shabbat throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant.
Okay, so we will, I thought it was here. Okay, yeah. Down in our prayer dictionary is the Shamru is the first word in Hebrew on the right hand side. Shows this Shamru. Now bottom of page 24. Now if you have the original printing you have some red there, otherwise you have it just in lighter shade.
Showing the root versus the prefix.
Exactly. I'm showing the prefix the, which means and then the Sheen Mem Resh, which means
watch guard or keep.
Now we sing one of the songs, he the keep of Israel either slumbers or sleep. Hine lo yanum shomer is so that's the shomer, the keeper of Israel. Okay, so even when you're singing some of these songs, you get some of the Hebrew. Okay, and the ooh on the end of the word, remember it goes from right to left in Hebrew, the ooh on the end of the word means they. So it's and, keep, or guard, or they. Okay, so we translate it, and they will keep, or they shall keep. Okay? Okay, let's go. Vainil vain b'nei Yisrael, Oti le'olam, Oti le'olam, Oti le'olam. So what did you say?
It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever.
Okay, so we have b'nei. Now I have a b'nei and I have a v'nei, because often you will see it as a bet with a little dot in the middle there, the dagesh, okay? Or, that's all the way to the right, that's the B sound for b'nei. If you go to the left a little bit, you have v'nei. V'nei or b'nei means the same thing, children, depending on the grammar and what you're saying.
It changes based on, the first letter changes based on whether the consonant before it was a guttural or not.
But I'm just trying to, I kept it simple for the Bar Bat Mitzvah. I'll keep it simple for this class right now. We could go into detail, but we kind of stay a little bit off of it.
It's one of those things that when you read from the Torah, we don't correct you on that one because it doesn't change the meaning.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't change the meaning. But there are places where it's v'nei. And often I hear people saying, b'nei, okay? It's a V versus a B. Okay, so b'nei or v'nei means?
Children of,
okay? B'nei Israel, so then we have the word Israel in Hebrew and in English. I'll think, Oti Leolam. Have we done Leolam? Va'ed before.
To infinity and beyond.
Okay. Forever and ever is often translated, okay? All right. So the next part. Ki sheshet yamin asa Adonai. Asa Adonai. Et hashemayim. Okay, so we just said that in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth. Okay, so ki sheshet yamim. Okay, that does anybody know yamim? Maybe not. That's days. That's your days. Okay, and asa is where has to do with made. Asa Adonai et hashemayim ve'et ha'aretz. So we have the next word in our prayer dictionary is et. And you see it's slightly different with the vowels underneath. It is not translated. It just points to the specific, it's saying that's the specific one. The point, it points to the direct object, and it's not translated. But you'll hear et a lot in the scriptures. Okay? Okay? So, et ha-shamayim. Shamayim is the heavens. And the et ha-aretz. Often you'll see eretz. Other times you'll see aretz. And it means the earth. It both means the same. In English, you don't have that. But in Hebrew, you will.
Because there's the unit modified because of the prefix attached to it.
Exactly. The prefix attached to it says, so that's why, oh, let's do the last part. Vashri, Shavat Vayina Fash, Shavat Vayina Fash, Vayom Hashri. Okay, and on the seventh day, he ceased from work and rested. Okay, so the bottom one in our prayer dictionary is Ha Shabbat. In other words, the Sabbath or Saturday.
You have between those two, you have the noun and the verb form of the same word.
Yeah.
Shabbat literally means rest.
It means rest, and it means the day. Okay. The, I'm pointing out in the dictionary, though, the ha in the front. Okay. Ha literally means, translated as the. It's a definite article, yep. Okay, so we are looking at, I know, John, you mentioned a couple of other things, but I'm not going to go into any of that. They can go back to your sermon. But it is to remember. We're to read the purpose of Shabbat. What is the purpose of Shabbat? To remember. Let's look up this scripture that we just did. Exodus 31, 16 to 17. Exodus 31, 16 to 17.
The people of Israel are to keep the Shabbat, to observe Shabbat through all their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the people of Israel forever. For in 6 days Adonai made heaven and earth, but on the seventh day he stopped working and rested.
Or ceased from work and was refreshed. I like that one too. When we stop, it's not just a rest like we go to sleep. It's ceased and we're refreshed.
The context of the word Bayim Nefash is that it's actually rebuilding your soul.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Did you catch that? Bayim Nefash?
Mm-hmm.
It's a process of rebuilding your soul. We are body, soul, and spirit. And what gets regenerated in us is our soul.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much to the soul that we never even, you know, we think of it as body and spirit, but not, don't necessarily think through the soul portion of it. Okay, any questions on the Shamru? We did Kedeshah, yeah, the Shamru.
Is the Shamru only to be repeated on the Shabbat? Is this just ideally to be done on the Shabbat?
Not necessarily. It's just a reference to the Shabbat, the a day that God set aside and told the people of Israel to keep it. So you can recite it any day.
Liturgically, I don't think usually.
I wouldn't think it, but liturgically, probably not. But you could.
Well, as we said, too, there are many congregations who don't do the Vishamru. One of the things John said in his sermon, I remember this, we will do it here. I've included it here. I like it here. Because I think it's a really great reminder, you know, the children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing the Shabbat throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. What kind of everlasting covenant? It's a sign. There are other signs. It's another sign. Tzitzit is a sign. This is a sign. It is a sign, the Shabbat.
And particularly it says a sign between us and him.
Yes, a sign between us and him.
And one of the reasons that some cite that they don't do it on Shabbat is because of the fact that you're doing it. You're observing Shabbat. So to recite, to them it does. It seems redundant and not necessary to be recited since they're already showing that they're doing
it. But do they know that? Did you point out the difference between Bani and B'nai?
No, I didn't. You want to go ahead and do it?
Basically, they're two completely separate words that share a lot of the same letters.
Yeah.
The word Ben means offspring or son, and B'nai is the construct form, means son of, or sons or children of. Bane is the word that means between. So, Bani, and the yod at the end is a suffix meaning me. So between me and Uvain, in between, the children of Israel. Between is a long phrase in Hebrew.
Yeah.
Between one person, Uvain, another person. Mm-hmm. You're not just between one word.
Well, there's another phrase that we do.
Havdalah.
Yeah. There's a difference between holy and common.
Mm-hmm.
Between, right? Okay? That's when the word Bane is used a lot. So
Bane, Uvain.
Yeah. Bane, Uvain. Yeah. Okay, any other questions? All right, let's do our prayer request. Thank you.